It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Not so much funny as kill time.
Okay.
But we got 2 hours to do tonight, so might as well. Anyway, oh yeah, you just showed up as we're recording. That's handy. Hello, everyone.
You were talking to Ezzy, not me.
Yes. welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that's like a big hug of meat and cheese with a liberal seasoning of some dude talking about superhero cartoons that he watched. I'm Tony.
And I'm Cheese. William. And this is episode 175.
So that I'm meat?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
I thought,
I apologize if I sound a little bit like
you
Mortimer
say that
Snurry,
like you didn't know. I thought...
Well, I could also be cheese, so, you know...
I'm pretty sure I'm cheese.
allergies have really been getting me bad this week.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I'm all weird and stuffed up, so...
Okay.
As some of you, as most of you should know... the sound was really shitty last time because apparently my mic just like wasn't working or something.
Yeah,
what
happened? Did you figure it out?
I don't know. Of course, to be fair, an hour ago is the first time I touched this equipment since then.
And it worked fine when you...
Well, it's fine-ish. I mean, look at the dials. Mine is way louder up than yours just to get us to this level.
Oh.
So I think something is wrong. But anyway, we're very sorry. We had no idea that was going on. I understand it was difficult for some of you. I do know some of you managed to successfully hear my story of eating croissant sandwiches out of the trash. So it must have at least been possible to listen.
Well,
to.
It seemed very clear to me that you were being picked up by my microphone. Like yours wasn't even on or something.
Yeah, but today it works, but it just doesn't work nearly as well. Oh, and I said I'm going to try and lean in a little more. No, what's hilarious is... I'm at work, and somebody comes down the hall and says, "So, croissant sandwiches, huh?"
Really?
Just, yeah, like on Monday, like
did you,
right away.
Did you know this person listened? Or?
I didn't know they listened regularly, but no, that's not the funny part.
Oh, okay.
The funny part, that person, as of now, my boss. Wasn't before, now is. So, yeah, this should get real interesting. as the producer said, good excuse to not talk about work on there. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm already real careful about that. So anyway, for those of you just joining us for the first time, if you were hoping to hear me talk about work, too bad. that's not how this show works. How this show works, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. The best of the best of the 1% of the brightest of tomorrow's future email that address. And you can too. They email it with comments, questions, topics, things like that. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them. That manifest physically within the hat, and we draw those cards out at random from the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, and repeat for about an hour. So that's the whole show. But tonight's going to be 2 hours, but for you guys it'll be an hour each of 2 weeks.
And that random thing, that's important to understand, because you know, when we first started out, a lot of people asked us, well, why don't you read this question or that question? And it literally is... The questions come in, we literally answer them randomly. We don't
reach it and draw them out.
We don't plan it at all. When I get here, we don't talk about what we're going to, we don't know what we're going to talk about because we haven't drawn them. I don't even know what Tony's The Only Podcast bit's going to be. Sit down, turn it on, and everything you hear is, none of it has been discussed, and none of it's been rehearsed or anything.
You always seem very emphatic about that. I feel like you may have gotten worse pressure than I did.
No, well, it's just...
when it was drawn. Because nowadays, we don't anymore because everybody's realized they don't care.
No,
the only
people
who write the hat now do it out of pity for us to give us material.
Right, but we keep repeating the spiel about the hat. So
we do that.
Just in case there are new listeners. So just in case there are new listeners, they should know that we really are doing it randomly. So if, let's say you've been listening for the last couple and you've written in and you're wondering how come they haven't read my thing from
it's
the hat.
It's because we specifically don't like
it. No, it's because it's in the hat like everything is, but we haven't drawn it randomly from the hat yet.
Luckily, the hat apparently has a good spam filter, or else we'd be reading about, like, get your herbal Viagra.
Well, you don't. What do you mean? You don't think the hat has a way to?
It must. I mean,
a magical. It's magical, so it can keep that stuff out.
We have never gotten one that I have thought was a spam email. So,
well, it must know the difference between someone who's actually writing in deliberately to the hat and someone who's not.
And yet it lets in Monty Python quotes with no context.
Because that's not spam. Well, don't look at me like that.
Isn't it? Don't you think? If we're honest with ourselves.
Anyway, so sometimes I bring that up because new listeners might not realize.
That's it, true.
Completely, we don't prepare anything. We show up, we record, and then we don't edit it before we post it.
Which is why we didn't know about the microphone thing.
Yeah.
I woke up the next morning, checked my email, and William's like, there's a problem with the podcast. I'm like, well,
yep.
Too late. Lessons learned.
You know, I don't... I'll bet there aren't very many podcasts that start...
Put as little into
well,
it as we
no,
do.
But the start cold. I mean, no, yep. There's no discussion beforehand, and then there's no editing, nothing added except the intro and the outro, and then posted right away. I don't
now
think very many podcasts do that.
Short film where you come in and you literally don't speak. We don't say anything to each other, and you sit down, and we don't.
Well,
talk
we barely do say anything.
No,
like,
we do.
Hello,
but
when
you say nothing happens, we don't talk about anything before that. I'm just imagining you walk in dead silence.
I think that maybe even has happened before.
Once or twice is big. I think we at least do it like ready.
Well, like especially if the producer's talking to you or something, when I
that's
walk in,
true.
I'll sit down
that's
and then
true.
You'll look at me ready and I'll nod, maybe even not even say anything and we go.
It's a problem though, because you a little bit have resting bitch face, and so it's hard to gauge.
No,
your
that's true.
Mood
I do.
When you
I never,
in.
I never
just
heard
a
it,
little bit.
I never heard it called that.
Oh,
have
you not? Oh no, that's a no. Oh, that's such a thing. I'm a little a coworker of mine who's actually involved with a different coworker that I'm even no longer. I, for a long time, I was like, I don't think he likes me. Because he really has, like, he has resting, I'm going to punch you face.
Yeah, some people.
Like, and seriously, I had a conversation with the other day. It immediately goes away. He's smiling, he's great, but his resting face.
No, that's that is true about me. I've had to point that out.
If I'm cool, I'll link the YouTube video explaining about resting.
I've never called it that, but I'll explain to people. Hey, now this is something you should know. Yeah.
I think I used to have it. I'm not sure I still have it. Of course, my mouth is never closed, so
well,
tell.
It's just, and I don't know if it's always the case for me, but I mean, it's always been true that people will tell me, "Well, I just thought you were mad," or. Like I'll find out later someone didn't talk to me about something. And, well, why didn't you just say, well, you know, you always look like you're upset or something. And I just realized that when I'm not thinking or feeling anything in particular, my expression looks, I don't know. Well, the thing is, I'm always thinking about something. So it's probably just a look of...
You're not doing anything with your face at the time.
Well, but I'm usually concentrating on something, and that can look like I'm upset or angry or... something.
Like, smell the fart acting.
kind of. And a lot of people are surprised because, you know, I'm a pretty approachable guy otherwise, a fairly nice guy, I guess. And so they kind of are surprised later to realize that about me when not knowing me and just seeing my face while I'm not like reading a book or not doing anything, I look so
from
angry.
A distance you do seem terrible.
Well,
have I talked about From a Distance before, that song? On the podcast?
I don't think so. You mean the Bette Midler song?
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
From a distance, you look like my friend?
Yes.
and God is watching us from a distance.
Holy shit! This is what I'm saying. This is one of the biggest deals when I really thought about it. She's like, God is basically winging it. He has to squint to see what's going on this planet. And so what? So he's just flinging things? Like, God should be watching us from very close up.
Well, there is some...
No, tell me, what is the message of that song? What does that song mean?
There's some difficult poetry in there, I'll grant you that.
Terrifying poetry.
Well, I don't know. It's trying to say when you step back and you look at things from a higher perspective or, you know, a broader perspective. I shouldn't say higher because that's loaded. That makes it sound like it's like morally higher. I mean broader, you know, that things that seem conflicted or that they don't really go together or that they're justified to have a conflict, suddenly they don't really look that way anymore. And the whole thing about God is watching us from a distance, it's equating God's perspective to the perspective in other parts of the song, like, from a distance you look like my friend. In other words, if I step back from the immediate situation and don't get too embroiled in the details, I can see how much we have in common and not just the things that we disagree about. And by taking that step back, I'm getting closer to a divine perspective.
Yes. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we are at war. Things like this. Best case scenario, God's looking and saying, close enough.
No, I realize that. I realize when you
worst
listen to the song...
Worst case scenario, God, like, just occasionally sends revelation to somebody and has no idea what happened.
Yeah, I mean... If you take it very literally, and this is a problem I've had with the song too, is it makes it sound like God is so far away that he or she doesn't understand that we're fighting each other.
Yeah,
there are people literally starving, because from that far away, it looks like everything's great.
when you look at the numbers,
yeah,
there is enough
on paper.
So
it's
we're fine,
but. But obviously, you know, there's...
Well, and it's so damned intuitive,
if you get a little...
Because I listened to that song for years and totally understood what it meant and was fine. And then one day I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing about the song that I like, is how can... If you take it out of its context and just look at the words and maybe take everything literally... How can it seem so wrong? But in the context of the actual song and the poetry of it, it's like, yeah, I get what this means. It's a little weird how that works.
So I find it fascinating as a cultural artifact. I wouldn't say I like it because of that.
Well, that's a thing I like about it. I'm not a big fan of the song overall, but
I think
that's interesting.
The only thing I can think of is it just has enough idiom, or even, dare I say, platitude, that people just... It's like if you throw the word America in a song enough, everybody gets really patriotic for no good reason, you know? That kind of thing. Well, like, Chris Hardwick and his buddy that used to have the musical comedy duo used to do this song called American Dinosaurs that was like a faux patriotic song, but about dinosaurs. And apparently they played for a particularly sort of rednecky group, and they would cheer, and they were so excited. It's like they don't even hear the word dinosaurs in the song. So it's the same sort of thing here. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But then I listen, I'm like, no, that's not right.
Well,
at best, we're saying God only works in aggregate, and God's like, as long as most of the people are good, we'll call it even.
Well, yeah,
but at worst, he just doesn't know. He's just launching missiles of divine intervention.
There's a certain literal...
With no censors whatsoever.
There's a certain literal way of taking the lyrics that is not quite right.
I think with some judicious altering of a couple of verses, you could get exactly what you were talking about in a way that didn't sound psychotic.
Maybe. But it's like you said, everyone sort of gets a sense of what it means somehow. Which
I think because we didn't pay close enough attention.
No.
I think the song is viciously crafted, and I find that fascinating and horrifying at the same time.
Viciously crafted.
Viciously crafted. Sort of like Pumped Up Kicks, but that's a different story entirely. How was your week?
You know what? Let's start with yours, because what we always do when we record two, which is what we're doing tonight. We're recording two because you're not going to be available next week.
No.
We sometimes... Well, you know what? I'll talk about my week in the first one. Why don't we save mine for the next one? Because you probably have a lot to say and already know what to say.
People to get worked up over something when it's not going to be that good. And so
they're going to forget by a week later.
When I do it second, they sit around and they're like, oh, man, next Thursday, Tony's going to tell us how his week was.
Yeah, I really don't think they do.
That happened.
So just go ahead.
It wasn't that interesting.
I mean, I might think of something, you know, between here and there that I can actually say that might...
It is possible.
Oh, there is one thing I want to say, though. Just one. No, it's not about my week. And this is for...
Let the record show, folks. We got 3 seconds in.
No, this is a time-sensitive thing. That's why I want to mention it. The Briar Rose Project, I just want to say.
Yeah.
I haven't had an update for a while, but that's because there's not been anything developed, you know, to talk about. There's one really important file that we haven't received yet, but it's because the person had some personal issues happen that are still happening, and you know, people are more important than projects. So, I mean, I really want this person to work out their stuff, and I'm totally patient about it, and I hope everybody else is too, because, you know, if I felt at liberty to discuss it, I think everybody would agree, okay, yeah, this is cool that, you know, this person has to get this taken care of before we can move forward. But, you know, even if I had this file and I was already working on some of the editing, like the guy who's going to do our music, he's not going to be able to work on the project for several months either. So these are just the kind of delays you run into with a project like this. And I tried to prepare everybody that from the beginning. So I hope people aren't getting too antsy or impatient about it. Trust me.
Harvey Weinstein is dragging his feet on distribution too. It'll, so it could go even longer.
It'll get done. And I hope when it is, everyone's satisfied with it. We're certainly going to try to put out a really good product. But I just wanted to say something because it's been a long time since I said
white
anything.
White vinyl press of just 10 of them.
So go. How was your week?
That will be signed by the cast.
Your week.
Come on, that would be awesome.
Well, it would be awesome, but I mean, that's not nothing to really...
Okay.
What did
Jesus
she just do?
Christ. Luckily, the cursor was not on an important... It was already on the record button, and you don't stop recording by hitting the record button again. If it had been a couple inches over...
As he stepped on the laptop and almost
and on
stopped.
The mouse, she clicked a button. Yeah.
So your week.
My week was not that interesting. Stuff's going okay at the gym. I still have some nerve damage. I'm gonna have that for at least a year or two, though, even if everything comes back. So there's some time on that. But I do. I did notice a little bit of improvement in specific issues I've been having with that. Preparing to leave for the annual Virginia trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a long-time listener, you probably heard about this before. My in-laws get a beach house in Virginia for 2 weeks. We go hang out there, relax. Don't do much. Swim, eat, sleep, read, play games. And I usually go for a week, and the producer usually goes for 2 weeks because she has ungodly amounts of vacation. And she drives out with her sister and her sister's 2 kids. And so she left today. So I have tonight and tomorrow night of bachelorhood, and then I will fly out Saturday. And then we'll basically arrive about the same time. And then I'll be there for a week, and then I'll come back, and she'll be there for another week. So I'll have, after these 2 episodes, you'll come back, and I'll be a bachelor at that time, so I'll be a disaster.
That's so, usually the case.
Yeah. But I also will have just spent a week with all my in-laws, so I'll probably be real eager to be a bachelor for a while. Also, I have finally, basically, definitely, officially decided. This coming week at the beach house, I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want, because that's what you do at the beach house. And when I come back, Trish won't be here, so I'll be eating all the terrible foods that she hates. But after that... So basically on August 3rd, I think, that Monday, I'm going to be starting Weight Watchers for at least a few months.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to meetings. I still fucking hate people, so that's not happening. But they have all sorts of digital tools and stuff. You can do it online, so.
Hmm.
I'm going to give that a shot. I've talked to a lot of people who have done it. My sister's been doing it for a while now. She's lost a lot of weight. And everybody really seems to agree, whatever else you say, that if you do the plan and you stick to it while you're on it, you will lose weight. And that's my issue right now. My activity level is doing good for keeping me from gaining more weight, but it's not getting rid of the old stuff. And so I want to do this and try and get rid of some of the fat that just has been there. And we'll see. I'm going to commit till at least Thanksgiving for it, but I mean, if it's going well, I might keep going at that point. We'll see.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good plan. Yeah, I mean, the people did it at work back when we worked at the same place. They did it at our workplace for a while, and it seemed like it was successful for everybody to some degree.
There was a little issue for a while. They hadn't figured out the whole low-carb thing. So at a certain point where they were Weight Watchers was very focused on low-fat, you could game the system in such a way that you would actually gain weight if you weren't careful. Nowadays, they focus low fat. They focus on protein amounts. They focus on the amount of carbs and the amount of fiber. And so it's much more involved. And yeah, apparently, I mean, that's the thing. I've never heard anybody say, I did it, and I didn't cheat, and I didn't lose weight.
Yeah, I never have either. About everybody has some measure of success, and some people had a lot of success.
And I really do. I mean, obviously, there are lifestyle choices I have to make, some of which I've already made. But I do really believe the level of activity I do now, I mean, going to the gym 5 days a week and all that stuff, is mostly doing it for my metabolism. It's just not taking away the old stuff. So I really am sort of doing this as a way to get rid of the weight and then hopefully be okay.
It's mostly... I mean, you can pretty much still eat all the stuff that you have been eating. It's mostly a program of portion control.
And when and what and all that kind of thing. Yeah, it's a point by system. And it's actually quite similar to what I was doing from the nutritionist for the diabetes.
Sure, right.
Except it's a little more focused on low fat than the diabetes stuff is.
Sure, sure.
But the difference is that was guidelines. And so for a while I did well, but then I'm like, oh, you know, this is roughly what they said, stuff like that. And this is, you know, points. This is numbers.
Yeah, you.
And so it's going to be pretty straightforward. And I'm really hoping that'll be enough to keep me focused. And then the other thing, and this is a weird thing I sort of realized when I was first thinking about it. As you know, I don't like doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And as you also know, I don't tend to commit to things.
Right.
There are a few exceptions. And one of them was this podcast, which is cool, but it's not exactly a big physical dream. But I finally started doing the activity thing, and now I go to the gym every workday. And for, like, a serious workout, not just, like, a little cardio and stuff. You know, I'm doing core stuff, I'm doing weights, I'm doing all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of has made me realize that I am capable of tackling something like this and actually sticking to it.
Sure.
And I'm not sure I would have had the confidence before to do Weight Watchers, because I would just assume I'm just throwing money away, because I know I'm not going to stick with it.
Oh.
But I'm like, now I've proven to myself I actually can stick with it. I still, in general, don't like it, but I can. So I'm a little more confident about giving it a shot.
Okay, well, good luck with that. I hope it works out.
Yeah, we'll see. By the next time you see me, I'll be at my fattest and most angry due to malnutrition. So it won't have happened yet then. But I have a thing. It's a little weird. It's a little personal even for me. So I don't really know.
Okay. Well, I mean, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to do anything.
Okay. That's fine. Lord knows, there's tons of things I don't talk about.
Well, I saw a movie that had a remarkable impact on me, more than I expected. But it's not exactly a good movie, and I largely picked it out at the time for a cheap, trashy thrill. So it just feels a little awkward to talk about it. But at the same time, I'm like, but there was something very compelling about it in ways I didn't expect, and I sort of want to tell other people, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Which will be like a half hour from
now. Yeah.
Not much else, though. Not a lot happened. We didn't game this week. Did I talk about the game I'm not playing in?
Well, I think you mentioned that you were, but
that,
I don't...
That David, his wife, is running?
I think you mentioned you were in one that she was doing.
But... We finally started playing. We're going to do once a month. And at the moment, it's just the two of us, me and David, and then Robin's running it,
yeah.
It was very cool. It's very... We were very sort of silly. It's a very comedic vibe. which is fun, but I also feel bad because I feel like I always am pulling it that way, and that it's sort of a nervous habit. Mm. You know, as much as I want real role-playing, I'm like, oh, but this will get around. So, yeah, we're both two musketeers in a fictitious sort of fantasy world, but they're musketeers. And I've very much got an Inigo Montoya accent going, and we do a lot of sneaky stuff. So far, we're actually pretty... well regarded right now for having successfully saved prevented assassination attempts on two different potential heirs to the throne in the last week or so. Wow. What people don't realize is one was a complete accident and the other may have sort of been a thing where we accidentally hired somebody to do it.
Accidentally somebody to kill somebody? How do you accidentally?
Oh, it's very complicated. We hired somebody potentially to kill this person, but they didn't trust us yet, or we claimed not to trust them, so they gave us a smaller job, so we hired them to kill a different guy who we don't really like very well, but we still weren't going to let them kill him. We were just using him as bait, and then, you know, we'd have proof and we could catch them.
You mean you were entrapping him.
Basically. And what ended up happening is the person we might have picked for that was also a musketeer and happened to be on guard duty for the heir to the throne in question. And we figured that out too late, and we went there to thwart it, and it looks like we thwarted it because the potential heir to the throne was not hit. But in reality, it's because that musketeer guy was hit, which is what we hired them for anyway. So it's actually it was a successful job for them, except we don't know if he's dead yet. We ended with him getting hit.
I see.
So yeah, we're really favored right now for absolutely no good reason.
You know, Dave and his wife, they are very cool people.
They are very cool
people. Very nice.
And yeah, they're introducing me to this PDQ system. Which so far looks interesting.
Well, where do they live in,
they live in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, so you have to go up there to play.
Yeah, because, well, we talked about maybe finding a place around here or something, but they obviously can't come to my house. And so yeah, it's like find a coffee house somewhere or go to theirs. And I think the only issue they have with going to theirs is they don't want me to have to drive that far, but I'm fine with it.
So. All right.
Did you want to ask about the Batcave?
Well, as we're sitting here recording the podcast, there's looks like a Batcave playset sitting right next to us here.
Yes.
And I asked about it beforehand, and you said that maybe we'd talk about it on the podcast.
Yes.
Which is, getting back to what I was saying before, we hardly talk at all beforehand, and sometimes if I do ask a question...
Save it for the podcast.
Yeah, save it for the podcast, and that's what happened in this instance. So here's this, it looks like a Batcave playset. And it's sitting here where it's not normally sitting here.
It's not. Looks like a Batcave. Like it looks Batcave-ish. It has a giant Batman symbol on the front.
Yeah, so that's how you know that's what it is.
People say, "What is that?" I'm like, "It's a Batcave." Duh. And I'd show them the front. They're like, "Oh yeah, of course." if you want, you can look at the back. It's very reminiscent to me of the Castle Grayskull playset. It's got lots of weird things, and ramps, and elevators, and trap doors and stuff. But so what's the question? Why is it here?
Well, it's not usually here, so
I had to bring it from work because I'm moving desks and I didn't want to haul this around since I was going to bring it home anyway.
I didn't even know you had a Batcave
playset. I did not until a few weeks ago, I would say.
Really? Who gave you a Batman playset?
Sean.
Who's that?
Guy I work with.
Oh. Just for fun? He thought, hey, you're...
Well, do you want the short story or the long story?
Well, I don't... It doesn't matter to me. If
well,
it,
which story do you want? I'm telling you
I
a story.
I want whichever story you want to tell. This, the long story is great. Short story is great if you don't feel like telling the long story.
Well, the short
if you
story wanna, is that Sean didn't want it.
It belonged to him.
At the time. See, now we're getting into the long story. Okay. Here's what happened. In the group where Sean works, just the collection of people where he was, they decided to have their own sort of like award ceremony thing. You know, we used to do that on our team at Applied. They were
that
apparently,
you make fun of all the time. But.
Yeah, and I still think it's hilarious. And apparently they were doing this. I don't know. I had to find this part out later. And there was some sort of award he was given for which the trophy ended up being this giant Batcave playset. I believe one of his coworkers, her children had it, and like they hadn't played with it forever, so she just said, I'm going to take it. And so it was his trophy. And I expressed admiration for said trophy and how awesome it was. And he was saying, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just going to give it to Goodwill or something. I mean, I don't have any use for it. And I said, are you insane? And he said, what, do you want it? I said, what I want to do is give it to one of the many children in my life that will worship me for at least a year if I just give them a goddamn Batcave playset for no reason. Not a birthday or anything. Just because I think you're cool. So, hell yeah, I want it. And he said, okay. So I've been trying to determine what child or children are going to benefit. Mm-hmm. I believe it is going to be the neighbor children. I feel like they're a good age, and also they're very grateful, and we're trying to convince them to take care of us in our old age, since we have no children.
Well, are there any figures with it?
No, there's nothing with it. But that's the thing. You could it's also terrible scale,
right? But well, all so, these things are. But what?
But really bad. I mean, what for the size of action figure you'd want? Batman and the Batmobile would be about the same size as each other.
Well, what figures is it made for? Like animated?
I have no idea. I did not research this at all. If you grab it by the thing, it'll just pick up pretty easily. It's pretty well. It's not very heavy. See, there's all sorts of crap in the back.
Because I happen to have somehow someone gave me a long time ago. Do you realize the podcast a year ago?
Yeah.
It's the 17th today, and a year ago we had our podcast on the 18th. Someone submitted a question about Batman the Animated Series.
No way.
Yeah, they
That's
did.
How slow we are, people.
And
are you trying to say you want a Batcave?
No, I'm saying that even though I've only just started watching that series, someone years ago gave me a Batmobile with a Batman, and it's based on the animated series. And I don't think I even knew that until we started watching it. Oh, yeah, that's the Batmobile I have in my room. So I have some idea of how big that figure is and whether or not it would fit in this set, but I don't think it would. It seems like that Batman's too big for this set, too.
It's definitely would be a small
Batman.
I would say something smaller than old-fashioned Star Wars action figures.
It'd have to be a pretty small Batman. And there's no place to put a Batmobile, I don't...
No, I think this ramp down here, that's what I'm saying. Tiny Batmobile.
Oh.
I think that's where you park a little Batmobile.
Yeah, there's a little ramp on the side, but that would be a very small Batmobile.
That would be about the size of the Batman.
But, I mean, there must be figures and stuff that are sold specifically go with this.
I would assume.
But I've never seen any. And here's the thing. My brother collects figures.
Yes.
So a lot of times when I'm visiting him and we're out driving around, he'll say, hey, before we go down home or before we go over to my other brother's house that lives in Des Moines, we're going to stop at Toys R Us, we're going to stop at Target, and we're going to look at figures.
You know, he secretly has been buying crack there in the back.
No, because I go in there and...
Yeah, he says, go look at those figures, and then he buys crack in the back.
So sometimes I look at, you know, Batman figures and stuff, because I just always do that, and I've never seen any that are this small.
Maybe it's a knockoff. Maybe it's a fake, like, Batman.
I think there might be a piece missing up here.
Well, there's a piece in the cage that came off. So you can see if that's it. There's a loose piece. I put it in the cage because I couldn't figure out where it goes. This is good radio.
No. No, it's not.
Okay, well, what the hell is that?
See, there's this piece missing here.
What? What? When did that happen?
Why? Because it wasn't
there. I was totally there all this time.
Oh, well, it's not there now.
Damn. Probably around here somewhere.
Oh, let's see. There's some cool stuff about this set, but I have no idea what size the figures are because I've never seen figures that small.
You can play it with old army men.
Because, like I say, I mean, I don't collect stuff like figures and stuff, although I have several figures that my brother Scott bought me as gifts, which are really cool, and they're still in the box and all that. But I don't go out of my way to buy this stuff myself. But like I say, when he's looking at figures, I'll look at the Batman stuff because that's what interests me, and I've never seen small Batman figures before, not small enough to work with that. But then again, I've never seen this either.
Well, your homework is to figure out where this comes from by next time we record.
The last time I saw anything like a Bat Cave playset was like years ago. You know, when I was a kid seeing these things advertised on TV, I didn't even know they made anything like that anymore. This looks relatively new. It doesn't look like an old toy.
No, it does not. Yeah, it's. As he's looking at it too. All right, we might want to consider doing some questions out of the hat.
Oh, well, look, see, this door opens when you turn this knob.
I know, right? Yeah. That's like a secret thing. And that whole front thing comes out as like a separate little...
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that.
Entrance.
Look at that door.
It looks like Wayne Manor or something.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Huh. This is good radio.
There's an elevator that looks like if you do the right thing, you don't have to, it'll go up by itself kind of thing. But I don't know where the control for it is.
No, the thing on the top is, there's an actual control mechanism. No, it's not the thing on the top, I'm sorry, but it's the thing in there.
Yeah.
We should really stop. Here, take that.
Well, the thing is...
it's like, imagine an episode of This Old House... Except Bob Vila has no idea what he's talking about, and you can't see the picture.
I don't know if it's ever really come up on the podcast, but I really like toys. I mean,
I think it has come up.
I mean, toys are awesome, and you know, like when the kids were younger, you know, I liked shopping for toys. I liked thinking about which toys would work best for them or that they'd like best. In fact, when I was in high school, I wrote a research paper about toys in child development class because I was interested in that. So, yeah, I've got quite an interest in toys.
I still feel like all of this is just masking repressed memories of your family buying crack in the back of Toys R Us.
No. We didn't really have a lot of
crack
toys when I was growing up. No. Because, as I've said before, we weren't, like, we were middle class, but kind of lower middle class, you know? I mean... You know, Dad was a factory worker and five kids in the family, and, you know.
And Mom was a steel driving lady.
No, she stayed home with the kids, and so.
Is your mother John Henry?
We didn't have
that
a lot of...
That would be weird.
We didn't have a lot of toys, but we... And I think we've discussed... You did this, too, because we talked about this on the podcast where we would use found objects as toys, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that made me interested in how toys are designed to, you know, to be toys. Like, what makes this toy valuable for a kid to play with or for a kid to want to play with? I mean, you know, outside the obvious action figures and stuff like that. So, even when I was young, I was interested in toys that were like, serious business, you know. Like, this is going to teach a kid something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how Bop It was invented.
I've always been boring, even when I was a kid. This is from Azure Talon.
How many exclamation points?
Let me count them. 1, 2, 3. 3 exclamation points.
Ah, ah, ah. We've done this exact joke, haven't we? It sounds really familiar to me.
Dear dissonant and confused forced voices of the magical talking hat, what is the stupidest thing you have ever done?
Drawn that card out of there.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, stupidest thing? Well, I think I've talked about this one because this seems like about the stupidest thing I've ever done. Sometimes I'd refurbish, or not refurbish. Well, no, refurbish is the right word.
Okay, nobody has ever told the story of the stupidest thing they've ever done that started with the verb refurbish.
But wait, I'm not done.
I'm excited, believe me.
No, because I've told this story before.
I don't remember you ever refurbishing things.
Fireworks.
How do you refurbish fireworks?
Well, if you have a dud, you can fix it so that it's not a dud and you can set it off.
That sounds like the scariest and most unnecessary job ever.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're a kid on the farm, you think, hey, this was a dud, and I can make it not a dud. All I have to do, and this is where the stupid part comes in.
Yeah, no, you're nailing it here.
Are you sure I haven't told this story before?
Maybe it was an episode I wasn't here. Because I do not remember you performing weird science on dud fireworks to make them explode.
And it worked, by the way.
I believe it.
I successfully...
How many fingers do you have?
I successfully, at least one time, I successfully fixed a firework so that it was not a dud anymore and it actually worked. Oh, there's a kid coming up here. Who's this?
Oh, this is Lawnmower Kid.
Oh, but you
a week ago, yeah. What's up?
Hey, my dad wants to tell me to ask you, would you like me to clean out the gutters?
Oh, possibly, but that's going to be a call for my wife, and she's gone for like 2 weeks. And I'm going to be gone pretty soon here. Yeah, I can't make that call. Let's check later in the season.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, in 2-3 weeks, come back, though, about the lawn, though. We'll hook you up.
All right.
Thanks. Oh, Trisha, love that idea, but yeah.
Yeah, because you have a garden in your gutters right now.
Yeah, it's a disaster. It's like multiple years of things. No, go back to your idea to make things explode that were supposed to explode and then failed to explode.
Well, the idea that I had, and again, it worked. So I just want to say that up front because everything else is going to sound so dumb.
This story is terrible if it doesn't work. It's a little bit sad if you don't lose a limb, but I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. But
what anyway. Really all that it involved was finding a way to replenish the gunpowder.
Oh, yeah. Just grab some gunpowder off the ground.
And then seal it, and then it worked great.
Well, I could...
You had to do the fuse thing, too. That was part of it, but...
So what you're describing is just making an explosive. I mean, what you've just described, I could do that to the Batcave, and then it would work.
That was the genius of it. I didn't have to make anything. All I had to do was put the gunpowder in, seal it. I think I had to make a makeshift fuse also, and it all worked fine. The tricky part, of course, was procuring the gunpowder.
You fucking little pyro. Oh, my God.
And again, this is where it gets stupid. I knew where there was gunpowder, and I got the gunpowder from this source. There was gunpowder in some shotgun shells that we had in the house that we, you know...
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you get beat by 12, your parents 15. For this?
Well, they didn't know I did this.
Okay, that explains it. I was like, dude, you would get the butt of a gun to your face after this.
They didn't know about most of the things we were doing.
So they never used those shotgun shells? No, they were like, damn, squirrels ate the gunpowder.
We had guns in the house that hadn't been used since my grandfather was probably a younger man, and he died in 72 or whatever. So, and this was sometime in the 80s by now when I'm talking about me doing this. Early 80s, I guess.
So just before they started doing PSAs about this. just before they started saying, blasting caps are found.
It's a good bet that these shells hadn't been used or even touched by anyone in 20 years.
If only someone had been there to tell little William, don't touch them. Play with these, but not with those.
So, gunpowder in the shells. I knew that. I wanted the gunpowder in the shells. How do you suppose I managed to get the gunpowder out of the shell?
Oh,
hint.
Dear.
It involves a hacksaw.
Oh, my God.
That's right. I hacksawed the
as you're
caps.
Thank you so much for this question.
I hacksawed the caps off of the shells and
awesome.
Emptied the gunpowder into empty Band-Aid box. Because, you know, Band-Aids used to come in those tin boxes.
Yes.
And I needed quite a bit of gunpowder.
Oh, my God.
So I had to do this a lot of times. Now,
Then you're walking around with a metal... You're walking around with a pipe bomb. Let's be honest at this point. No fuse, no nails, but a pipe bomb.
Now, part of me knew that, okay, while I'm sawing this with a hacksaw, I'm building up heat and I'm potentially igniting this gunpowder. Potentially this shell is going to blow up. But I, for whatever reason, I guess I just thought, it's probably okay. And it was. I mean, I did it several times. But, I mean, you know, I wouldn't do it now because it was just so stupid.
This almost put you back in the human race. This is something other children would do.
I don't think
this is awesome.
I don't think this is the stupidest thing I've did either. This is just one I can remember.
Well, we're excluding this podcast, I assume. But no, if you find a better story, you tell me, because holy shit.
But yeah. And it worked. It worked great.
Really?
Well, you know, I think I told you the story about my brother that's related to this in a way, because he wanted to fire one of these shotguns. Which I said, as I said, hadn't been shot for like 20 years or something. And he came to me and he said, "What do you think will happen?"
Oh, yes.
If I shot this. And I told him, and he just went out sort of, yeah, because you made mention that if he was holding it down by his waist, he must not have cared about having kids or whatever. But that's the way he was, and I'm sure I said this before. He didn't ask me what would happen because he wanted to see if he was going to do it. He asked me what would happen because he was going
to
do it.
Yeah,
he just wanted to
know
what to expect. And I was very different. I mean, if I asked you what was going to happen, it was because I still hadn't decided to do it yet. But I don't generally look back at my life and see myself as doing crazy things like that brother did, but I guess I did. And that was one of the things. Here's another thing. Okay, here's another stupid thing. I don't know if this is as stupid, but I did all this work in our barn. We had a big barn, and there was a big window in the hayloft, you know, because that's where you would bring hay in and throw hay out or whatever. And one time I decided I'm going to jump out of this window. And it's about, I don't know, it was 12 feet off the ground maybe. Not that far. I mean,
Did you have a landing strategy? Were you putting a mattress down?
I did. I did. It was in the wintertime, so there was quite...
Oh, no!
So there was quite a bit of snow. But then I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? There could be stuff under that snow. Like my dad has farm implements all over the place, sharp metal farm implements. So the smart thing at that point would have been, okay, well, that's just a bad idea. I won't do that. Not what I did. I cleared away the snow. So now... My original plan was predicated on the fact that there was about 3 feet of snow that I would land in that wouldn't make it so bad.
Yes.
But because of my fear of something being underneath the snow, I cleared all the snow away. And so then I decided it was a good idea to go ahead and do it.
So then you did it.
Oh, yeah. Like I said,
how'd it go?
Well, it was a little painful. I mean, it wasn't far enough up that you could get hurt. I mean, and I don't think I even really knew that. I mean, and if I landed the wrong way, I could have broken a leg or something.
Yeah, you could have gotten hurt.
But you know, you roll. I think it hurt a little more than I expected to, and it was fine. It wasn't that high. But afterwards, I thought to myself, my thought process in this went a little awry.
Yeah.
Thrall, actually, I should have broken something just to punish me for having such a stupid thought process in this whole thing. So I did that, and I could probably come up with a lot more. There's just lots of stuff
and kids
we did.
Do dumb ones, because, yeah, I got a couple that are when I was young, mostly. My worst one was buying crack in the back of the Toys R Us. But, no, I remember when I was a kid, and I was given... I talked about this recently, actually. Given my first pocket knife. I wanted one. They decided I was finally old enough. That was the one where they said test the blade,
and
I almost cut my thumb
almost
off.
Almost cut your thumb, yeah.
Yeah. So I get the pocket knife, and when you're a kid, you get a pocket knife. Why? What do you use it for?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask, because this wasn't like a little dinky one to go on a keychain. This is a pretty good size one. If you ask a kid, usually the thing that I thought was whittling.
Oh, sure. You know,
that's
what
I'm going to do.
Right. I should have thought of that.
And that's genuinely what
I thought.
We
did a lot of that, actually, when I was
a kid. So I got it. Start whittling. Mm-hmm. Learned out. Whittling harder than you think and boring as hell.
Really? I didn't think it was boring.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But it is a challenge to make anything out of it. I mean,
you're like, why didn't more wood come off when I did that? And so... I'm really not into whittling, like, almost immediately. But I still have a goddamn pocket knife, and I'm not just going to be like, oh, I guess this goes in a drawer. No, I have a pocket knife. I'm, what, 10, 11, 12,
you're
somewhere
around there. You're going to skin
rabbits, or... I don't even know. But this is the thing. So then you just start fucking with stuff with it. You just like, how far can I dig this into the tree? You know, how far... Anybody got a bottle with an actual bottle cap? I got a bottle opener on there. An awl. I don't even know it's an awl at this point, but it was an awl made to dig holes into leather. At this point, I'm just like, I have an incredibly sharp, pointy thing. So I'm digging that into stuff. And at some point, I was in a field, and I grabbed a bunch of grass in my hand and bound it up, so it was like a big matting of it. And I took the awl, and I just started like stabbing at it. Now, people at home can't see, but I'm holding the base of this stuff in one hand,
mm-hmm.
and I'm stabbing at it, which means, essentially, I'm stabbing at my hand,
mm-hmm.
but in between the two is a very large barrier of air and blades of grass. So what could go wrong?
Well, what did go wrong is the real question.
I put... that all, I think if I looked hard enough, I could still find the scar.
Mm.
Deep into, like, the meat of the side of my fingers. Probably a half inch in.
Wow. That's deep.
And it's one of those walls that kind of got wider, so it was not fun. And then, you know, freaked out. But here's the thing. I'm, like, half a mile from home.
Mm.
And I don't have my folks with me, obviously, because I'm stabbing grass in my hand. I have to go home. So what I did was basically sucked on the wound because it was bleeding like crazy.
Sure.
And I basically said, I don't know how much, but I always, as a kid, thought the taste of blood was interesting. You know, you scrape your knee or something. And, you know, I was interesting. I think because it's just different. A little salty, a little metallic or whatever. I was so sick. Blood made me queasy after that just to look at it for years. Because I don't know how much, but I've been, like, sucking on the blood all the way home. And I was like, oh, my God, that was terrible. So, yeah, that was a pretty dumb one. The other dumb one, I was older. The other dumb one, I would have been 21. And this is one of those dumb ones that I realized at the moment was dumb, but had already passed the point where I could do anything about it. So as I believe I've mentioned on here, during one fall semester in college, I lived in the UK. I lived in London.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a break, and I think I've mentioned this too. During the break, I went out to Wales, to the Pembrokeshire coast, and hiked along the Pembrokeshire coastal path.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very cool. It's not super safe. It's dirt paths. Some of it's paved. Most of it's not. Some of it has railings. Most of it doesn't. And it's just, you know, worn into the side of these cliffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a point where I'm going up pretty high, and then you come around the corner, and it goes down at, I'm going to say, pretty much a 45-degree angle.
Okay.
And then it switches back, coming around, so there's just a big hole down to the ocean. Mm-hmm. It was low tide, though, so it was rocks.
Okay.
That I'm going to say was probably about 3 stories down.
Oh.
And the path is dirt, and is about a foot and a half wide.
Hmm.
So I get to the top of this.
That's pretty narrow.
And there's no railing.
Okay.
I get to the top of this, and I'm like, well, it could be awkward. You know, I got my big backpack. That's a problem. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to send the backpack down first. So I take off my backpack, and I push it down the thing.
Hmm.
And it goes, thump, 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 down the thing. At the switchback, it hits the cliff, bounces off, down the hole.
Oh, no.
And the path kept going. The path did not go down to the beach and all that.
Mm.
And I was like, well, shit. Now I have to go get it. And I start going. And it's as I start going that I realize I'm alone to the degree that nobody knows exactly where I am. I called from a town a couple days ago, but I have no itinerary, and nobody knows where to find me. Nobody's expecting me anywhere at a certain point. And I'm on a foot and a half path, and if I slip, you know, from the wet dirt,
mm-hmm.
I will probably die.
Well, or get hurt. And
yeah, at best, and then bleed out. Or
whatever,
drown,
sure.
Or, yeah,
sure.
I mean, there's just so many. And and this is for fun. And even then, I'm not in the best of shape. But at that point, I'm like, so I sat and I scooted my butt down the entire thing. But I was like, how did I get here? And mostly I was shocked that the world was built such that a fairly intelligent senior in college with a good, loving, supportive family and a good upbringing could be allowed to be put in this situation where he could just slip and die. And it might be a couple days before anybody would even think to ask, let alone find it.
But you, so which part do you think was stupid? You pushing your backpack down the hill or just going on the excursion altogether?
That's the thing. I'm like,
where's the stupid
hike
part?
Was stupid.
No,
it was incredibly rewarding.
I don't think any of that. Anything was stupid.
I think where it becomes stupid is I just clearly didn't consider. Like, at no point in my mind did I think it was dead. There was a little thrill that people didn't exactly know where I was because that had never happened before in my life. But I didn't stop. At no point did it seem dangerous, you know. That I'm walking on cliffs, and like on the edge of cliffs. Like, what the hell?
And that someone should know where you're at in case something happens.
Well, or come with me.
Yeah.
So that when the bone is sticking out as I'm on, they can call 911. And, you know, cell phones, what are those? This was not.
More recent stupid things. Like, one time I locked my keys in my car while it was running.
That can be done, and that is difficult to do, but it is impressive when it happens.
That was in my adult years.
We had that once, and I believe my father ended up going through the trunk because the trunk was still open, and he basically broke his way into those seat releases.
Oh, I had to call the police, and they had to kind of break into my car. And that was a week where I'd already locked the keys in my car like 2 other times previous, because that's how it works for me. If I lock the keys in my car, I'm going to do it probably 2 or 3 more times in the next 2 weeks because for some reason it happens like that. Although the car I have now, I can't do that. But
I was going to say, but wait, you're driving a Prius.
Well, back when...
The keys can just stay in your pocket.
Right. Back when I had a car where I could do that, it happened. I mean, you know, not that often, but it did happen.
All right, should wrap up because it's about that time to bring forth the rhythm and the rhyme. I'm going to get mine, so get yours. I want to see sweat coming out your pores. That was the immortal words of veteran character actor Mark Wahlberg. back when he was known affectionately and publicly as Marky Mark, and traveled around with a group of associates known colloquially as the Funky Bunch.
Didn't he do modeling too? Underwear modeling or something?
Possibly. I just remember, such a good vibration! and those abs. Oh my god. Alright, anyway. We're going to be back in a few minutes. You guys just wait for a week. Okay.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.